Well, here we are, we're live. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Sunday morning, just a little after 9 o'clock here in London. Our first Turning Towards Life podcast of the year that is named 2021. So welcome to everyone. And this is, as it is every week, Lizzie and Justin here from Third Space with a source that we'll read and then talk about. And we are so glad that you're here. Whether you're one of the many people who join us live, you can find us on Facebook in the Turning Towards Life group, or who are listening on a podcast later, who knows what you might be doing whilst you're listening or watching us on YouTube, whichever way, you are so, so welcome to be here. And Lizzie, I'm feeling so glad to be doing this week. And also, I know that this source that you've brought us is one that you've been waiting for a while to bring in, and thank you for bringing it.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be talking about this too. If you're watching on the video now, I'm holding up the book that this is from, which is called On Connection by Kay Tempest. And the way that Kay writes about so many things feels like it was hard for me to pick a source, if you know what I mean. It was hard for me to select a bit, because there are so many pieces that Kay writes about that I completely connect with and feel really moved by. And so if you get a chance to read this and any of Kay's material in the world, I would really encourage you to. It's really, really beautiful work that has been done. So I'm going to read this little piece that's probably from about the kind of, I don't know, middle, three quarters of the way through the book. And there's all kinds of different themes that get written about. It's such a journey through what creativity and connection mean. And the way it's written is very accessible, very honest, very raw, very compassionate and grown up at the same time. And it just feels important reading for all of us, actually, especially at this time in our lives where things seem to be polarizing in so many ways in the world. Things seem to be being kind of pulled apart, like, are you in this camp or are you in this camp? And this is a book in a way about universality and coming back together again, both in ourselves, the parts of ourselves inside, but also with one another as well. So, yeah, thank you to Kay for bringing her work this way. It's wonderful. So here we go. I cannot summon connection down from the ether and expect it to land in my lap, but I can do everything in my power to create a welcoming environment for it when it does decide to show up. This is the same for self-awareness. I can't expect deep revelations about the content of my character or my life's trajectory or why I tend to do X when challenged by Y to just pop by when I'm frying onions. I have to put in a great deal of work to notice my own behavior, and even more if I'm hoping to transform it. It's a craft. The work that I do on myself may not be evident in my daily exchanges, but little by little, if I continue, I hope that my actions will reflect my changing mindset, and next time, I promise myself I'll do things differently. Getting on top of my shortcomings is not immediate. It's endless. It takes constant application. And even after years of it, I think I might have cracked it until I find myself reflected through the lens of a relationship. And I realize I'm in exactly the same spot that I was in years before, repeating the same mistakes, apparently treading water the whole time.
Thank you, Lizzie. So I'm going to read it as well. I can't summon connection down from the ether and expect it to land in my lap, but I can do everything in my power to create a welcoming environment for it when it does decide to show up. This is the same for self-awareness. I can't expect deep revelations about the content of my character or my life's trajectory or why I tend to do X when challenged by Y to just pop by when I'm frying onions. I have to put in a great deal of work to notice my own behavior, and even more if I'm hoping to transform it. It's a craft. The work that I do on myself may not be evident in my daily exchanges, but little by little, if I continue, I hope that my actions will reflect my changing mindset, and next time, I promise myself I'll do things differently. Getting on top of my shortcomings is not immediate, it's endless. It takes constant application. And even after years of it, I might think that I've cracked it until I find myself reflected through the lens of a relationship and I realize I'm in exactly the same spot that I was in years before. Repeating the same mistakes, apparently treading water the whole time.
Thank you, Justin. So I, in a way, I brought this because of the kind of humility that it speaks of. I read this passage and I felt the removal of the demand on ourselves to be different and to find a way of accepting that when we are working to shift something, it's really hard. Like, it doesn't just happen. Like, change isn't, for something to shift in us, it doesn't just happen like that. And I so appreciated the way that Kay talks about this, because it's just true that we have to, in order to be able to notice what we're doing, it takes something. We are endlessly sleepy to our own patterns. And so when she wrote this, it just, I've got to notice my pronouns, because I said she, and I know that Kay's announced on her Facebook page about, and also at the beginning of this book too, and through the book, about her gender. So I'm going to refer to her as either her name, or I'm going to say there. And I just said she, so I want to just notice that and say, apologize that I did that. And if I do it again, Justin, maybe you can catch me, because I think this is part of the thing for me, is like, I've got to keep learning and got to keep opening to my awareness about how I refer to people who have decided that they want to be referred to in a certain way. And I have to be respectful to that, but I can also notice my patterns. So this is one of them, is that this is a pattern that I need to work hard on so that I can shift it, and it doesn't just happen. So I've made a decision that I'm going to refer to Kay as Kay and there, and I just said she. So for me, this is exactly the thing that she's, that they are talking about, that Kay is talking about, which is that I can want something and still my habits play their part really strongly in opposition to my intentions for something to happen. In a way, that's an amazing example of the way that my patterns show up in my life, is that I make an intention and then it takes something to build awareness around that so that I can take action. And as this passage says, little by little, if I continue, I hope my actions will reflect my changing mindset, and next time I promise myself I'll do things differently. And it feels like that's a very kind invitation into the little by little realms of course, having an intention, and then being really kind about the fact that this is a little by little situation, and that every time I fail with my pronouns, really it takes kindness to come back and say, ah, I did that again. Can I be present enough, shameless enough, open enough, undefended enough to see I did it again, and to be in the little by little game of making myself a little promise that I'll try it better next time. And it feels very also meeting of a part of me that's young as well, because I can notice the kind of the grown-up part of me that is ashamed and that is annoyed with myself that I can't just wholesale make a change, that I can't just wholesale get my pronouns right, for example. But of course, if I do that, I'm actually not probably going to learn about how to do my pronouns properly in this way. So this invitation to little by little, and to not expect these deep revelations just because I want them, but to create welcoming conditions like openness, undefendedness, doing my best to be unashamed and staying wide open. That's what I can cultivate, so that the nature of this little by littleness can have its way in my life.
Thank you so much, Lizzie, for bringing all you said, and also so lovely being with you as you work with exactly the thing that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And it is such a gift from Kay, actually, this change, aside from Kay's writing, this public shift in identity that Kay is bringing brings us into this territory of can I learn to refer, because like you, I guess I also have known Kay as Kate Tempest for a long time, and so there's a sort of long groove of habit in referring to Kay's work. Just to have it here between us, who knows what I'll say, and we'll keep on working on it together. You talked to us, you were reading just before, Lizzie, you talked about the humility that is here in Kay's work. And I was thinking whilst you were speaking about how the shame parts of ourselves, of course, play an important role, because they got going in each of us to try and navigate this really, really tricky territory of being in relationship with other people. Like, how do I deal with saying the wrong thing, or having forgot something, or inadvertently hurting someone, whatever. And because shame is something we use easily on each other to be powerful with one another, we end up using shame on ourselves in order to try and protect ourselves. So we get into, you know, I just said the wrong thing, or I did the wrong thing, or it wasn't what I intended. And there's a part of us that preemptively shames us to get it's makes lots of sense in a way to shame ourselves first before other people can shame us, and sort of take some of the blow or the sting or the danger out of being shamed by other people. And so it's one way in which we don't get to be properly humble, is because we're making ourselves way smaller than we need to be. And I've been so grateful for a long time for this definition of humility, which is taking up our proper place, like not too big, but also not too small. So we sort of, the shame parts of ourselves in a way make us much more the center of attention than we need to be, in order to protect ourselves from the negative attention of other people. When in fact, as you did in the conversation, the sweet thing to do is go, okay, that wasn't what I intended to do, I'm going to have another go. And you rehearsed in our conversation some other attempts to have another go of talking about Kay. And the other way that we go, I know this is the way that I go, I get the part of me that shames me, and then I get the part of me that goes, well, actually, I'm much better than everyone else here, I just messed up because, and I sort of, there's an inner puffing myself up thing. So I go, it's really easy to go really, really tiny, or like impervious and really, really big. Whereas as Kay is writing about, and as you said, really what helps us so much is to go, okay, I noticed that I did something that was not the way I'd intended it to be. If I really pay attention, and if I keep on working and keep on, I might change this. That kind of realism about how hard it is, and how much attention it takes, and how much observation it takes. So I feel like Kay's teaching us something really important about humility here. Like you said, that change in us is often really needed, because there are all kinds of ways of taking better care of ourselves and people around us, and bringing qualities that otherwise wouldn't get brought to bring. And it's also really hard. And so I so loved that Kay says it's a craft. Because I was thinking about craft when you were reading, like what kind of things are crafts? Like, and the first one that came to me is woodwork. Not actually that I've done very much woodwork in my life, but carpentry. Or I made pasta with Maya, my daughter, last night, and we followed all the instructions. You know, we knew exactly what we were doing, and we were rolling out the pasta for hours and hours, and we were making sure it was really thin, and we had fillings and everything. And we cooked it, and it was like eating, I mean, I think we did all right, but it was like, it was not like eating pasta, like I know from somewhere that makes good pasta. It was rubbery around the edges. And and it struck me, the conversation Maya and I had about it was, hey, it's really going to take us a lot of practice to make good pasta. Should we have another go? Mm-hmm. And at some point we'll have another go, and we're going to have to laugh. We're going to have to learn to laugh massively that it takes hours and hours and hours to do. And it's still not that good. Yeah. but we might learn to be a bit more skillful. And we might, if we do this thing that Kay says, where is it? It's so good. We have to put in a great deal of work to notice our own behavior, and then put in even more if we're hoping to transform it. It is really just like that. And there's no sort of magic, as far as I can tell, enlightenment or something, just because I had a new intention, bam, I'm just going to be different in the world. Our whole lives are a ton of paying attention, if we will, and an absolute ton of practice with all of the mess ups and all of the falling far, far short of what we've intended. Yeah. Again and again and again and again. And even then, often we find out it didn't work out the way that we intended. Gosh, that's such a thing to remember, but it's also not a reason to give up, it seems to me.
Yeah. And as you're speaking, Justin, I'm realizing that in a way, the pronouns thing is so confronting because it reveals actually what it is like to be in practice with something, which is that I'm failing all the time. Like, that's the nature of it, which is why it's so hard. Because when you begin to practice something, you will fail. Like it isn't here already. It's not part of our habitual way of being yet. So in a way, it's revealing to me in this moment just why we resist different kinds of practices and different kinds of experiments in our lives, because it reveals something that is uncomfortable, that we're not good at something yet, or that we're not skilled at something yet. So making the pasta is like revealing how not good at making pasta we are yet. So we have to be able to tolerate that when we've done so much to build an identity that's kind of watertight, and this is the things I can do, so these are the things I do. And in a way, our lack of openness to that vulnerability of practicing something new and learning something new or cultivating something, it kind of reconfirms who we are already, and that there's nothing else possible for us. So in practicing and in emerging into something that we don't know yet, but we have an intention for, but our bodies haven't kind of caught up with our minds, if you like, in the practicing is the revealing of the parts of us that we were trying to hide, if you like, by keeping everything sealed and our self-image and our image management stuff completely together. So we're presenting all the time who we want to be in the world. And when that kind of breaks down because we're practicing something new, it's really hard to be with that kind of shaky ground of not knowing who I am now. And so this kind of kindness and humility Kay's inviting us to is so vital if we want to learn anything at all. You know, we need this. We really need this kind of kindness and relationship and awareness around shame so that we can actually learn. And learning seems to me like a deeply vital part of being a human being. It's a hopeful part. It's an empowering part. It's one of the parts of life that feels like things are possible rather than everything just has to be this way. When right now, this way doesn't really look that good. And I feel like when we're in that position of, oh gosh, this doesn't look good, we need to have ways that we can learn things. But if it's all so sealed up and we can't be open and vulnerable about when we're learning and falling over and tripping over and me saying the wrong pronoun in a broadcast that we're doing, if we can't relate to that in the way that's open and humble, and I don't feel diminished because I've done it, I do feel like, oh, I made a mistake. But I know that me kind of erasing myself or getting cross with myself isn't going to help me learn more. So I'm going to just keep trying and keep learning. And I think as long as I'm noticing and I'm revealing of my process and also allowing someone to tell me that I did it wrong and be open to that, it's really okay that I did it wrong. I think it wouldn't be okay if I pretended that I hadn't done it, or I was really defended about it, or I got cross about the thing or whatever. But it feels like if I don't have those defenses there, it's really okay to mess up. And I think that's the nature of making pasta or learning a different thing to do with my body or learning to dance or learning to meditate or whatever, or write poetry or whatever it is I want to learn to do in service of my intentions being more realized in the world. If I can be undefended about it, something really, really right can happen. You know, something really good for my life can happen. But in the sealed upness, I can kind of foray into the practice and I think, oh no, I've messed that up, I'm never doing that again. And I'm gone again. And so it can just be like a toe dipping rather than a living into, which the toe dipping doesn't really do anything. So as you said, enlightenment doesn't just come because you had an intention. Like, you know, the light bulbs don't come on about what life is or what there is to do here or what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. It's about this humble keeping on, keeping on. And I think that's why this passage moved me so much, because it was really honouring of what it is really like. And I feel really seen by it, the fact that it is a craft and things take time and that we don't just go, boof, oh, everything's fine now. That's just not going to happen. Like, we have bodies, we're biological, things take time. And we need this kind of invitation to self-awareness and humility and little by littleness, so that we're willing to step in and then again and then again and then again.
There's so much in what you said to respond to, but the part I want to start with is the what I feel and what you're saying, Lizzie, is a sort of an invitation to playfulness, if we can, in this.
Yeah.
Which was being able to smile at ourselves really, really sweetly and laugh at us, you know, laugh lovingly and sweetly at ourselves, not shaming, to go, there I go again. I just did that thing again. I just tripped over that thing again. And then to come back and to practice again and to practice again and to practice again, and to see this as, I used the word enlightenment really deliberately earlier, because I've been thinking quite a lot about one of these very, I think, corrosive narratives in our culture, which is that you can get enlightened and then somehow you're a proper person once you've seen the light in some way or seen the way. And like now I am the one who's seen everything. And I think that what you're saying and what Kay's saying is much more accurate about us, which is that we're always in the middle of life. We're always incomplete. And we're always seeing what we can do to take the next step. And if we'll have a kind of integrity to our own lives and take care and be really kind to ourselves as well as really committed, like courageous and committed, what we do is we take the next step and the next step and the next step, and we're never done. We never arrive somewhere, and there's never a place where we can say, really, well, now I've got it sorted. All there is I'm taking the next step on an infinitely long path. And it really helps to walk the path and to know ourselves as walking the path. And then it really helps not to see if we can spot the parts of ourselves that will aggrandize ourselves and go, well, of course, I'm much better than you, Lizzie, because I didn't make a mistake with pronouns yet. You know, I could go that, I know the part of me that can go that way. And it doesn't help us to make ourselves really small, like, oh my goodness, this is how terrible. Also, all of those ways of defending ourselves from the other thing that you said, which I wanted to pick up on, which is I think that what makes, one of the things that makes being human is our capacity to learn. There's something really, really precious that we can do what Kay says. We have the kinds of bodies and minds that can change if we practice. We can learn craft. And craft has really supported us, that people could learn how to make flint axes, you know, more than a million years ago, and then could learn carpentry, and we could build things for one another. And craft is what's made this entire world that we can live in, that we're not just naked and at the mercy of the elements, and you know, we can build stuff. But the other thing is so that we are learning beings somehow, in a way, funnily gets pushed down the way that we understand ourselves, or lots of us, maybe because we get defensive and we get ashamed and we shame one another and we do all of that. But the other part that came to me whilst you were speaking about this, Lizzie, was how much we need each other for this. So I'm sure that Kay must write about this in other parts of, I've seen this in other parts of Kay's work, and this part looks like what we do on our own. But I also know that what we need is, we need people around us who, that when we trip, can do two things. The first thing is that they can be really, really sweet and kind, and they can know the part of themselves that's just like that, you know, so that we can say to one another, wow, that's just like me. I say things that I don't intend. I try to, you know, all of that. And that we also need people who will hold out for us our capacity, the possibility that we have, by keeping on paying attention, by keeping on practicing, that we might yet unfold into something else. So we need both. It has to be both proper kindness at the endless imperfection and messiness of being a person, and proper hope and welcome of our capacity to renew ourselves and to learn. And when we have that with one another, an enormous amount can be possible. And the place to start probably is to be that with, I think it's to start for us ourselves to practice doing that with other people. So I know I have to work a lot with the part of me that will try to defend me by judging somebody else in a negative way when they fall short of their or my expectations, because that just cuts me off from the possibility that I am like that too. You know, so there is something about how we are with one another that doesn't sort of get us off the possibility that we'll continue to develop, but is also infused with kindness and a loving recognition of just how difficult it is and messy it is and beautiful it is to be a human.
Yeah, I love what you're saying about being together in these things, because in a way that's what turning towards life is. You know, in a way, I think, what the hell are we doing? Like having a conversation in public where we don't know what each other's going to say. And like when I think about like to the beginning of things, I think all we really had was trust, you know, trust that, yes, well, we're going to be able to respond and we're going to talk to each other and see what happens. And we trusted each other that, and we've had that conversation as well about bringing sources. What if we bring a source that the other one doesn't like or doesn't have anything to say about or whatever? But we just trust that whatever each other brings, we'll be able to respond to. And so I really think this is a practice that's emerged, that we've given each other permission to be whatever comes here, and that we'll support each other's practice. And so I really feel that there's a way that in this conversation about craft, like it's much easier for you to do pasta making with your daughter rather than do it on your own, You know, there's something in the togetherness that allows you to be in conversation about what it's like to be in the practice as well, and to have community around practice and to have community around craft feels really important. And how much kinder it is to ourselves to be in practice together if we can have the kind of relationships that allow us to examine our shame, to feel ashamed inside of them, and to still be there and to not just run. I know one of the big patterns in me is that when shame arises, I just want to run really far, turn my back and run, so that I don't have to face the excruciation. And, you know, sometimes it takes everything I've got just to keep my body facing the person I'm with. And I think that's what this is talking about too, is creating the conditions under which connection can arrive, can be here. And one of those conditions is this, is turning towards. If we're not turning towards, how could connection happen? If we're turning our backs all the time, how could we be connected? So I so appreciate this invitation. And as I said, the rest of the book is also filled with brilliant, excellent inquiries, invitations, and maybe I'll bring some more and we can keep practicing, you know, in this kind of conversation where we have a different set of pronouns to use as well. And I feel really glad of having the opportunity to do it, and also being in a trusting field. You know, I think I want to take this chance as well to say, you know, every time I meet somebody in person, I mean, it's not so much happening now, but, you know, even meeting them online and they've been listening to us and being part of this community, there's such generosity coming our way. So I know that as we're speaking into a generous, generous field where we can make mistakes and we can mess things up. And it isn't such a cut and dried world into which we're speaking that we could be written off or something. So I also feel like that's a very big invitation to us to be here and to be here in this particular way. And I want to thank everyone for the generosity that you show us as well. It comes in lots of emails and lots of comments and lots of messages. And when we meet in person, lots of personal conversations. And it's such a joy to feel that for me and to know that that's the field that we're speaking into. So thank you, everybody, for being with us in this way that you are, that has it feel that way. And I think it's probably our time to finish the conversation now. Justin, did you have anything that you wanted to close with? Because I realised that you haven't had a chance to respond to whatever I just said.
No, yes, I'm with you in what you are saying about the field in which all of this happens. I wanted to add my thanks to you, Lizzie, and to everyone for sticking with me, with us, whilst we make mistakes together. And whilst you were speaking, it struck me that we humans are only where we are because in the life-giving, taking care of one another, nourishing stuff that we've been able to create, because a ton of people made a ton of mistakes over hundreds of thousands of years, again and again and again, and learned how to do stuff. Thank goodness they did that. So it's a real tender blessing to be able to carry on, you know, in this small way, find a way to keep on making mistakes and learning from them.
Yeah.
I'm really glad for that.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, everyone, for being here, whether you're listening right now or some other time. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll be back next Sunday, maybe at a different time. I'm not sure. We'll have to confirm that with you because we're running our coaching program next week. So there might be a slightly different time, but we'll let you know on Facebook. And thank you again for being here. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.